Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle. I'm actually broadcasting today from Alfred Webert's house, my friend in beautiful Vancouver, Canada, and the signal is being transmitted by Skype down to the studios and then rebroadcast all over the world. I'll be having Alfred on my show today from 3 to 4 p.m., and his interview should be really out of this world. The purpose of Out of This World Radio is to raise consciousness and to make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this world a much better place. I want to thank everyone for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the 3.1 million Seattle and Puget Sound area and the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world with listeners in over 60 countries. Today's show is really special because I'll be interviewing one of America's most famous journalists, Jim Mars. He's on the line now, who I'll be interviewing in a few minutes, followed by a famous Canadian lawyer and UFO expert, Alfred Labermont Weber, who was the head of President Jimmy Carter's UFO Disclosure Commission in 1977, until Alfred was chased out of the United States by George Bush and now lives in safety in Canada. He's a fascinating man, and I'm so happy he'll be on my show today. I want to thank everyone for their support, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program and is supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com. I want to thank everyone for their wonderful donations and support, especially Marco in Finland, Judith in California, Marie and Alan in Camino Island, Robert, Julie, and Louise in Bellevue, Washington, Randy and Jessica in Mercer Island, Darren in Olympia, Washington, Corey in Kent, Robert in Bellevue, Tom Frazen, Sig Sigby in Norway, David Lowe in Singapore, Ron McGregor, and Rod Shastri in Toronto, Canada. And everyone around the world has helped me raise consciousness and make this planet a better place. I'd also like to thank the many wonderful sponsors of this show, including Crystal at Crystal Voyage Bookstore in Tacoma and the wonderful Orion Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon. We're also looking for additional sponsors and advertisers. Any advertising on the show will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. With that, I'd also like to thank my friend Carol for designing my website and providing wonderful support, my wonderful friends Michiko Hayashi, as well as Hiro Emoto and Mrs. Emoto of the Emoto Peace Project and Emoto office in beautiful Tokyo, Japan. My friends in the Galactic Alliance, who I know are listening and been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, and I couldn't do this show without my wonderful producer, Eric, and my station manager, Eric Crema, and I just want to thank them as well for their help. I have a new spiritual mentoring program. If anyone out there would like to get in touch with their spiritual guides or relatives or friends who passed on, please send me an email or just call me. My email is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or I can be reached by cell in the United States at 509-750-9793 or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. Out of This World Television is also broadcasting now three times a week on Comcast Channel 22 in the Southern Puget Sound area on Tuesdays at 6 p.m., Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m., and Saturdays at 7 p.m. These programs are also available both on YouTube and Vimeo under either my name, Ted Marr, or Out of This World Television. I want to thank everyone who came to my Galactic Wisdom Conference in June of 2016. It was a wonderful experience, and I know everyone enjoyed it. I'm having another Galactic Wisdom Conference on March 10, 11, and 12 in 2017. And following the conference, on March 14th and 15th, I'll be bringing in one of the world's most famous Hado therapists from Tokyo, Japan, a Dr. Yoshi, who will be demonstrating Hado machines and giving Hado treatments. I have an early bird special for the March 2017 conference. For those who register before the end of the year, they'll receive a $25 discount off the regular admission price of $197. For more information, please go to our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com or just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. My friend Scott Lemriel will be there, as well as Michiko Hayashi, the Emoto Peace Project. I've also invited Jim Morris on my program or to my conference. Okay, he can come, as well as the former Canadian Defense Minister Paul Hellyer. I think next year's conference will be really out of this world, and I hope you'll all enjoy it. During the last couple of weeks, I've been sponsoring a lecture tour on the West Coast of the United States and Canada by Michiko Hayashi of the Emoto Peace Project and myself. And if you missed our presentations, we'll be giving a presentation tonight at the beautiful Listel Hotel at 1300 Robson Street in downtown Vancouver, starting at around 7 p.m. I hope you can come down. Michiko will be giving a presentation on the Emoto Peace Project, and I will be giving a presentation on messages from the Masters. I've been in touch with some wonderful spirits on the other side, including Professor Albert Einstein, President John F. Kennedy, Michel de Nostradamus, and some other wonderful spirits. And they have messages for humanity, and I'll be giving those tonight. Also, too, I want to thank Banyan Books in Vancouver for helping to market this wonderful event, and I appreciate Jakob and Andrea there for all their wonderful help. Finally, on January 21st, I'll be sponsoring a free event at the Washington RV and Event Center at 9101 Stillicum Road in Olympia, Washington, called the Cosmic Awareness Fair. We'll have over 20 different vendors, and I'll also be giving a wonderful presentation on the Emoto Peace Project starting at 1 p.m. that day. It's free, and I hope you can come. Now, let's go on to my first guest, Jim Mars. Jim, are you there?
I hope I am.
Well, good.
Good to be with you, Ted, actually. Greetings from the great state of Texas.
Well, Texas is a wonderful place. You have a lot of independence there. And
that's right. Yeah, that's putting it lightly. I think what we have here is a lot of rebels.
Well, that's funny.
But see, the term rebel kind of has gone back and forth, hadn't it? You know, in the American Revolution, the rebels were the good guys, and the war between the states, they were the bad guys, and then now we're the they went to be the good guys again, you know, in all these countries that are trying to overthrow corrupt governments. The rebels are always the heroes, except here in the United States. And if you oppose our corrupt government, then you're not a rebel hero anymore. You're an evil old maybe pro-terrorist rebel.
You are so funny. I have to tell all my listeners around the world a little bit about your background. In my opinion, I think you're one of the best journalists in America, if you don't mind me saying that.
Well, thank you.
My pleasure. And you've written all these incredible books about UFOs, the secret U.S. psychic program, the influence of Nazis, of all things, on the American government. And your best-selling books include Above Talk Secret, Alien Agenda, Crossfire, The Plot That Killed Kennedy, Inside Job, Spies, The True Story of America's Psychic Warfare Program, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, Rule by Secrecy, Sisterhood of the Rose, The Terror Conspiracy of 9/11. And you also have a new book out, too, don't you? I'm trying to remember.
Population Control, How Corporate Owners Are Killing Us. And, folks, I would really urge you to get this book, because everything else, Kennedy assassination, UFOs, politics, you know, that's all interesting. It's all real. It's all worth your attention. But Population Control tells what the corporate owners are putting in your food, your water, your air, your vaccines, and they literally will kill you, okay? And that's okay, because what their idea at the very top of the food chain is that there's just too many people, and that we've got to get rid of a bunch. And so they go along with the programs to put fluoride in the water, which turns to formaldehyde in your brain, to put chemtrails in the air that are dropping all kinds of heavy metal chemicals on you, such as all kinds of chemicals that are heavy metals that are designed to fog your brain, okay? And they're doing that. Wow. They're putting processed foods. If you go and look at the list of ingredients of the normal processed food, what you're eating is a bunch of chemicals, and that's about it. That's why there's been such a turn recently to organic food. But even then, you got a problem, because maybe it's organic, but you never know if they've dumped Monsanto's Roundup on it, which is the main ingredient is glyphosate, which they say, you know, they have shown a definite correlation between the rise of the use of glyphosate and Monsanto pesticides, which covers pretty much all our basic food crops like corn, soy, et cetera, and the rise of autism. In fact, one MIT scientist said that at the current rate, by 2025, one in every two children are going to be autistic, and it's probably from the glyphosate that we're getting in our food, in addition to the chemtrails and the thermomisol and all kinds of adjuvants that they've got in the vaccines. Sometimes it's not even the vaccine itself. It's the chemicals that they're putting in there. kind of you know, I'm suddenly, that reminds me, Ted, I'm suddenly reminded that, you know, men and women have been smoking cigarettes for hundreds of years, and they didn't have some huge spurt of cancer. But just recently, starting maybe in the 50s or so, after Lucky Strike Green took the green out, they started putting asbestos fibers in the cigarette paper so that it would burn smoother, you know, and slower.
Oh my goodness.
You know, you wouldn't just go and it's done. And of course, you can imagine if you have asbestos in your system, that's no good. Okay,
right.
That's why they wouldn't allow them to tear down the Twin Towers prior to 9/11, because they were half filled with asbestos. And
said,
we're not going to let you spread asbestos all over Lower Manhattan, but of course they did anyway.
Well, I was, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was driving Jim from Seattle area down to San Francisco, where I picked up Michiko Hayashi, and we started our tour up and down the West Coast, giving these presentations on the Moto Peace Project. And and what happened, I realized early one morning, it's about 2 weeks ago, I was driving past Mount Shasta. It was a beautiful morning, Jim, but I could see about 6:30 in the morning, all these chemtrails, there must have been several dozen of them crisscrossing the sky. And later I heard that the Mount Shasta area, which is a beautiful, beautiful area in Northern California, has one of the highest concentrates of aluminum in the country, something like 10.
And that's why.
yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. And aluminum, of course, is one of the prime causes of Alzheimer's, because it splits the two frontal lobes of your brain, left and right brain, so you can't think anymore. Leads to dementia. I don't know why they're spraying it. Maybe it's for military purposes. I don't know. But the other effect, of course, in the national forests up there, the effect of the aluminum has to meant to dry these forests out, so that they make them much like a tinderbox, where they can be very susceptible to forest fires. So it's a shame, really, what's going on, and it's amazing, really, but. But, you know, I know you're interested in this subject, Jim, and I've reported it here on my program before, and my television program as well. But most of the major media ignores it completely.
Because the major media, and we're talking basically five multinational corporations, they are owned and controlled by the same people that own and control the government. They are the rich plutocrats, the 1%, as they talk about. They don't care if we get sprayed with barium, aluminum oxide, pathogens, lead, mercury, strontium, and about 26 other heavy metals. And as to the purpose, it's interesting, because since they won't admit they're even doing this, it's just a contrail. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. Contrail is a condensation trail. That is produced by when the hot the heat of the engines at high altitudes in the cold upper atmosphere. It creates a water vapor, and the water vapor streams out behind your airplane, whether it's piston or jet, and that's what's called a contrail, a condensation trail. That is really no big deal, because it'll stream out, depending on the atmospheric conditions, may leave a pretty long stream behind the aircraft, or usually only leaves a fairly short one. If you're on the ground looking up at a high-flying jet making a contrail, that trail shouldn't last much more than about 6 inches in relation to you, and your hold your hand up. It may be about 6 inches before it dissipates and condenses back into air. But the chemtrails, they go from one horizon to the other, and they don't dissipate. Oh. They spread out. And they, you know, here in Texas, even at my house out in rural Texas, I've seen how many mornings I get up, and it's a clear, blue, bright, beautiful sky. And by 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, here comes the chemtrails crisscrossing each other. And by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the whole sky is just a milky haze, settling to the earth.
I have to tell you, I used to live in a place called Moses Lake, Washington. And before I moved from there, Jim, in 2014, U.S. Navy planes, and by the way, would come in, and they would spray every second day within 50 or 60 yards of the ground. And I got every time I like to bicycle, so every time I bicycled out during the day in that area, and the planes are flying, I get very sick. I have these bronchitis pneumonia episodes. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up having water, soil, and air tests done, and fish tests done of the local fish in the area, and the air and the water and the soil. And it turned out that the aluminum levels were over 10,000 times what they should have been.
Yep.
And leading to high Alzheimer's rates in the area.
Yep.
There's also a high breast cancer rate in the area.
Yep.
There's also high, very high rates of strontium and barium in the area. And
yep.
Guess what else there is? There's high Stillbirth's rates, because the barium and the strontium destroys the internal organs of people and leads to a lot of Stillbirths.
Mm.
So it's a place where people are getting silently killed by these chemtrails.
Yep.
It's a strange kind of 1984 Orwellian kind of situation where the local paper there doesn't cover it, won't talk about it. People see these planes all the time. A lot of people are sick, getting sicker.
Right.
And it's kind of like the Shasta area. But I know that people in Shasta and Ashland, Oregon, there's a wonderful project called the Blue Skies Project where they've spoken out and had rallies and marched against it.
Right.
And so they know what's going on. And what's a little bit troubling to me is that the U.S. Navy and U.S. Air Force pilots flying these planes, knowingly dumping these hazardous chemicals on our own population, certainly, Jim, they must have families. And don't they realize they're also polluting their own nests for their own children and their own wives and mothers and grandmothers?
No, because they, like everybody else, just watch TV. If it's not TV, it can't be real, and it can't be that bad. And besides, they're probably given pretty good cover story. You know, they're told, okay, you know, we have to do this surreptitiously because the public, you know, might not stand for this, but we've got to protect the public. And we're doing this because we're putting in a heat shield, okay? It's going to reflect ultraviolet rays, and it's going to hold down global warming, and it's going to save the planet. And, you know, you've got to keep quiet. It's a secret project, but this is all for the good of the people, you know.
Right.
So, or they could tell them that they are surreptitiously vaccinating the entire population so we don't have a pandemic, you know. All kinds of cover stories. And I'll add one thing to the chemtrail thing. Well, two things. Number one, I think the worst aspect of it is all this poison they're dumping on us and all this sickness that they're causing, as you just mentioned, we're paying for it. That's your tax money in action.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Because somebody's got to buy the gasoline. Somebody's got to pay those pilots. Okay. So that's just an incredible thing right there.
I remember years ago, it was about 15, 20 years ago, I did some research on the military industrial complex, and it costs per minute to fly one of these huge Air Force planes, you're looking at $1,800 to $2,000 per minute.
Right.
So if one of those airplanes, let's say it's $2,000 per minute, one of those planes are up for 60 minutes, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And then if they spray all day, you know, I mean, and
well,
then,
in fact, you know, there's an interesting phenomenon going on there in that I know there were some British Air Force pilots who tracked chemtrails over Europe and then expanded it to chemtrails over North America, and they found out that that came out to like 24,000 sorties a day. Well, number one, there's not that many planes in the world, and there's certainly not that many pilots. So, see, that even puts an even stranger twist on the whole thing. Who's actually doing this?
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Everything that's going on is amazing. You know, but how close do you think we're getting to disclosure where all the public becomes aware that we're not alone here?
Well, I have to tell you, I've had a lot of thought about that, Jim, and I'm so glad you asked about that. I think we already had a lot of disclosure with television shows like Star Trek. Back in the 60s, 70s, a lot of sci-fi movies in the 50s. And I think the public is been prepped for disclosure, official disclosure. The only issue that I think now is whether it'll be when they do disclose, when the government does. I think there's already been disclosure with all this other TV shows and movies and whatnot. And people like Corey Good and Randy Kramer, who were soldiers in the secret space program, and... and they came out and told them all about all these extraterrestrial lives, life and everything, and what that we have a whole fleet of ET craft that we go out to the ends of the solar system on.
Well, it's now been announced and publicly known that the Pentagon can't account for more than $8 trillion, okay? So where'd that money go? It had to go somewhere. Maybe connect the dot, and maybe that's what built the secret space fleet.
Well, yeah, maybe so. But I think that if, for example, I know that Hillary Clinton has hinted about doing a disclosure. I think if let's say Hillary gets in, I personally think she's going to be arrested for too long. But let's say
I agree. Sure, it's what it sounds like.
You know, but if you get a candidate in there, regardless who wins, Jim, and they'll put a spin on disclosure. They'll say, oh. Well, these reptilians are greatest things in sliced bread. They're here to help us.
Yeah, right.
You know, and they're, even though they're negatively based, they've given us a lot of technology that's been good for humanity. And so they'll spin it like that. They'll try to put a good face on it. That's what I see what happening if there is disclosure from the top down.
Well, I don't know. I'm a little more cynical. I think Podesta, for example, all these emails with Tom DeLonge. I think Tom DeLonge is probably on the level and is really trying to figure out what's going on. But I think Podesta and Hillary, the few comments they made, I think that's limited hangout. I think they're preaching to the choir. They're playing to their base. Because let's face it, you know, most left of center people are probably the ones that are more interested and open to UFOs and aliens than the right and left, you know, right side of the political spectrum. And I have every reason to believe that Podesta knows a whole lot more than he's put in those emails. So, he's just part of the cover-up. But I'll tell you what, I think he hit the nail on the head, except let me change the wording. You said that there's been disclosure through Star Trek, Star Wars. I say that's a conditioning program is what that was.
Okay.
Conditioning younger people to the idea. See, if you go back to the 1950s and the national polls, they said nobody believed there was life outside the Earth. Today,
really?
The opposite. You know, 90% or more said, yeah, I'm sure there's life out there, okay?
Sure.
Now, that's quite a turnaround, and that's the conditioning program. We've been conditioning. It's conditioned by Star Wars, Star Trek, and all like that, to accept the idea that they're here. Now, now disclosure, I think disclosure's already happened. I think, you know, if you're really interested and want to know about UFOs And this is unlike when I started trying to investigate back in, say, the 50s, late 50s, early 60s. I mean, all you had was government pronouncements, you know, and a few far-fetched speculation papers and novels and stuff. But today, with the Internet, with the camcorders, with the cell phone cameras and all like that, all you got to do is get on there and Google up UFOs, aliens, whatever. You can probably spend, you know, the next 6 months, maybe even your life, you know, looking at pictures of UFOs, looking at stories, accounts of people who've had these encounters. And it's now, you know, it's just there for anybody who wants to look at it. But if you don't look at it, if you don't go look at it, then you can sleep at night and say, well, there's really nothing going on, just a few disturbed people who think they see something, but it's a misidentified aircraft, or you know, or it's a satellite, or it's Venus, and they just don't understand. You know, you put yourself to sleep with that stuff, and sleep soundly, but never mind that it's not the truth. Okay, that it is. Sure. There's a very real phenomenon out there, and anybody that's looked at it agrees to that. And so, therefore, we've already had disclosure. Now, if you mean by disclosure, you're waiting on some government official to hold a press conference. And get up and say, okay, we've lied to you for 70 years, but now we're going to tell you the truth. Yeah, nobody's going to buy that. That would be political suicide, and nobody's going to do that. So we're just going to have to keep muddling along until every last little skeptic finally hears enough, sees enough, experiences enough where they go, okay, there's something happening here, you know, and then we'll have total disclosure.
Sure, absolutely. Jim, you know, there's so many questions, and in this interview, I could love to talk to you for hours, but I wanted to just ask you about a couple of areas. There's been a lot of controversy about the oil pipeline in North Dakota. I would love to hear your comments on that.
Well, I've been kind of keeping up with that. It's definitely another case of government overreach and government collusion with the corporations. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the very dictionary definition of the combination of state and corporate power is fascism. Okay,
that's true. That's true. Yeah, that was coined by Mussolini in the 20s.
Yeah,
the
and of
that
course the poor old Native Americans. You know, I mean, they've just been screwed ever since we've landed.
Right.
And you know that brings up an interesting point here. You know, in 1977 we sent out Voyager 1 and Voyager 2, and both of them are now outside our solar system. And as far as I know, they're both still operating and sending data back and stuff. Voyager 1, I think, was the one that made the real close flybys of Jupiter and Saturn and gave us so much more information than we ever knew about those planets. But it's still going. But on Voyager 2, which, oddly enough, was launched 16 days before Voyager 1, so it's I think it's a little further out. There's a golden disk, and on this disk is some drawings of a human male and a human female, and some graphics of showing our solar system and which planet you know we're on, and that has recently raised some concern. Stephen Hawking, you know, says, "Wait a minute, maybe we don't need to be going out there advertising where we are and giving them a roadmap. You know, we might not like who shows up." He's operating from the assumption that there's never been anybody here before. And of course, I think you and I both know, Ted, that you know there's been non-human visitation on the Earth all the way back into prehistory.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
And
absolutely.
And by the way, folks, that is a good point. That's a good thing, okay? Because that means if there's been somebody here since, well, even biblical times. Remember Ezekiel and his fiery wheel. It picked him up and carried him to the city and the mountains. It took him over here and it took him over there. Obviously, this was a flying machine. So if that's the case, then if they really wanted to just attack us and blow up our cities and eat us like in the movie Independence Day, they certainly would have done it before now. You know, now we got space stations and we got laser weaponry and all this stuff. And no, if they were going to do that, they would have done that when all we had to oppose them was with swords and spears. So that's the good news. But also, what blows me away is on this golden disk, there's also recordings of things all around the world, tribal chants, and of course the classical composers, you know, like Beethoven, Bach. But also there's some blues from Bly and Willie Johnson, and there's Chuck Berry playing Johnny B. Good.
Now,
picture that, Ted. You know, you're some some advanced civilization deep in the Milky Way galaxy, and this thing flies by going, "We're down in Louisiana, next to the wild bees, back in Bristol with the banana green." you're Chuck Berry playing. I don't know what they'd think. They go, "Boy, you know, we got to quarantine those folks." Or they may go, "Hey, rock and roll, all right."
That's right. Well, it's I don't know what they would say, actually. I mean, I think of that one line on Star Trek where Captain Kirk goes down to a planet and he says to Scotty, he says, "Leave me up, Scotty. There's no intelligent life on this planet."
That's right. I think he must have landed on Earth. Because I often wonder that, too. I keep looking for intelligent life, and boy, it's far few between. But, you know, L. Ron Hubbard wrote a big novel, The Battlefield Earth, based on kind of that premise, the fact that the Voyagers went out there and were picked up, and that that brought attention to the intergalactic miner. This is cool. Instead of, it's a business deal. It's not an alien invasion. It's just a business deal. The international, the intergalactic bankers loan money to the Intergalactic Mining Corporation, you know, to come and strip mine the Earth. And then, you know, of course, if they don't repay and on time, then they're going to take possession of the Earth and sell it to the highest bidder. And of course, the Intergalactic Mining Corporation comes down here and finds out that they have to worry about these pesky humans. So they hire these security guys, tall, hairy aliens from the planet Cyclos. I just love it.
Goodness.
That's just one letter off of Psychos, you know.
Psychos.
And send them to Earth. And they've been occupying the Earth for 1,000 years. And most of the Earth population has been wiped out. And there's just a handful of primitive tribes. And they don't even know that that they're on an occupied planet. But the hero, Johnny Good Boy Tyler. He pulls together a ragtag bunch of rebels, and after that, it's a rollicking story on how you take the planet back. It's pretty interesting. And you know, a lot of people don't realize that Hubbard was a very well respected science fiction writer, among other things. He was right up there with Isaac Asimov and Heinlein and all the rest of them. The reason I was thinking about that is because they've come out with a 21st century edition, which I think you can get for a really good deal on Amazon. And also they've come out with a audio version of the book. But instead of, you know, every audio book I've ever seen or heard or listened to is just some guy or gal reading the book, right? This one, they got about 68 voice actors that are acting for 150 characters or something like that. There's 150,000 sound effects on here and a musical score that was written simply for the for this audiobook. Is that amazing?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
You're going along, maybe you're in a long trip or you're have a long commute or a truck driver or something like that. Or this would be the one to have because it's like, I call it a movie of the mind.
And I remember
as a kid, before there was TV, we'd all just listen to the radio, and you'd listen to The Shadow or Gunsmoke or whatever, and they would be, you know, impersonating all the voices, and they'd have the sound effects. And you imagined it. It was all in your mind. You could just, you know, if you had the imagination, you could just picture what's going on, and it was a movie in your mind, and this would be the same thing. This would be great to experience that all over again.
Amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing, yeah. Jim. You know, I have to tell you, normally I stay away from politics, but you're a wonderful journalist, and I love your opinion on the election this year, and especially this morning or yesterday morning, where the chief of the FBI has recalled all of his agents back to D.C. I've been busy, Frank, with these tours I'm doing for the Moto Peace Project on the West Coast here of the United States and Canada. I haven't kept up. Could you tell me, in your opinion, what do you think is going on, Jim? I'd love to hear your opinion.
Well, of course, if you'll think back in the summer, the head of the FBI, Comey, came out, and keep in mind that his boss is the head of the Justice Department, Loretta Lynch, who answers to the President Obama, and probably Secretary of State when she was Clinton.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, okay, we've determined that Hillary Clinton basically is guilty of probably 47 violations of the law, but we don't think she really intended to violate the law, so we're not going to do anything. Well, needless to say, that caused such an uproar all through the country. Mm-hmm. Okay, that'd be like you getting stopped by the traffic cop. And he says, well, okay, you were going 15 miles over the speed limit, but I see now you didn't really mean to do that, so I'm not going to give you a ticket. I mean, it makes a mockery of the whole idea of rule by law, you know, and justice and everything else. Well, not only was the uproar through the community and through the Republicans and the anti-Clinton people, but most of the FBI rose up in protest. And there were a bundle of them that were saying this is not right, and there were even more who were resigning, putting their resignations on Comey's desk, and this is not right. And this is politics, you know, somebody's interfering with justice.
Sure.
And in the other case, like if you and I got caught trying to interfere with justice, like trying to bribe a juror in a case or something like that, they'd throw us in jail, you know.
Right.
But see,
this is a
classic case of who will watch the watchers, okay?
Oh, okay. Sure.
You're in Washington State, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's say the cops in Seattle become corrupt. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, then they'd probably call in the Washington State Police. Okay. Mm-hmm. They come in, they investigate, and if there's wrongdoing, then hopefully they would be charges brought, and that's how the system self-corrects and cleans itself up. Okay. Now, but what if the Washington State Police get corrupt? Well, then you bring in the FBI, right? The FBI works, and hopefully they would clear all the. Okay. Oh, but wait. What if the FBI becomes corrupt?
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Will watch the watchers?
Sure.
All right.
Right.
And I think this is what's going on, and I think there's been so much discontent and so much turmoil within the FBI that now he's had to come back and go, we've got some additional information, which, of course, they had all along, probably. But there is new stuff coming out with these new WikiLeaks. And let me make a brief statement about these WikiLeaks. Now the big thing is that, it's Russia. Russia's put all that out and released that, trying to influence our election. Well, maybe so, maybe not. That's beside the point. The point is, are those WikiLeaks messages real and true, or are they fakes and phony? I have heard nobody of any credibility try to say they're not real.
Right.
So never mind who puts it out. I don't care if Tasmania put it out. I don't care if Puerto Rico put it out. Who cares? If they're real, then we need to pay attention to them and see what kind of corruption
has
gained control over our federal government. And so that's what, to me, the election's coming down to. I think Donald Trump pretty well stated it in a talk in California, in Florida, I think it was last week, when he said, our campaign is an existential threat to the establishment. And that's it, folks, right there. That's the difference. Hillary Clinton is the establishment and has been ever since she was at the Bilderberg meetings in the early 90s, greeting people and demonstrating that she was a protege for these Bilderbergers in this New World Order group, So now, it's just becoming more and more clear. So what we have here is you can vote for Hillary, which is a vote for the establishment, which is a vote for the corporate owners of the media and of the polling, major poll companies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which have been dominating this election. I can't believe, except maybe for Fox, everybody else is just pro-Clinton and totally anti-Trump. And I got to admit, I'm not real fired up for Trump, but then stop and think about it. He's been rich all his life. He's arrogant. He's up there in that level in class where they just feel like they can do what they want to do, that prompted him to make some boorish remarks, and he's never been polished as a politician, groomed and actually, trained to stand in front of people, lie with a smile, come across as positive, have all this stuff. So he comes across a little rough around the edges, and he probably is. But the thing is, everything that I've seen that's been leveled accusations against him have been simply that, accusations, innuendo. Just before the election, some gal comes out and says, well, I was in a beauty pageant 20 years ago, and he walked in while we were dressing. Well, wait a minute. He was in charge of that pageant. Don't you think he's going to be everywhere? And besides that, nobody complained at the time. It's only a few weeks before the election before somebody says something. That's so obviously, staged and put up. So I'm not so much for Trump as I am anti-Clinton, because the Clintons represent the absolute worst aspect of international corporatism and fascism that I've ever seen. And in fact, it's going to be really, really interesting, because should she slip through and win the election, probably through vote fraud, which is already beginning. We already had multiple instances here in Texas of people who have voted early and marked, a straight Republican ticket, and watch it flip over to Democratic, straight Democrat ticket.
And that's also been documented in Virginia, Colorado, lots of other states.
When Trump says refused to say if he accepts the election results because he said it's rigged. And the thing is, that's true. It is. Okay.
And Putin, to his credit, in Russia, has also said the same thing about our election system.
Yeah, well, he knows.
And it was funny, because there was a White House spokesman for President Obama who came out just after Putin made his pronouncement. And the White House spokesman said that the U.S. election system is not rigged. It's a little bit like Nixon saying back in 1972, I'm not a crook.
Exactly. Yeah, we know how much trust we can put in all of that. People just have to quit listening to television and start doing some reading and start looking all around and look at all the variables. It's absolutely crazy. And like, for example, they're all after Trump because, 11 years ago he was caught on tape, and all he said was, it's great. When you're rich and famous, you can kiss all the women and maybe even grab their pussycat, except he left the cat part out. And you know, and they've been hailing him as he's a groper. He hates women. He didn't say any of that. Everybody knew what he said, and he didn't say he did it. He didn't even say he advocated that.
Well,
he was just saying if you're rich and famous, you might be able to do these things.
You know, I have to tell you too, Jim, and I've gotten this opinion from my friends who live outside of the United States, but they ask me, you know, you have a population that's well over 300 million. You have a lot of good people in the United States,
right,
like you. I consider you a great person, Jim, a famous journalist, do a lot of good work trying to make the country and the world a better place.
Yep.
Why can't we make two better choices than the one we've got? I mean,
seriously. That is really a good question.
You know, I mean,
I'll tell you my view on that, which is simply this. Mm-hmm. The New World Order people, they're not stupid, okay? Mm-hmm. And their whole tactics have always been back both sides. Okay? Battle of Waterloo. Right. The Rothschilds were backing the French, right, and they were also backing the British, all right? Same deal. You go, you find out that during the Cold War, it was the international banker money that play in both sides. Same thing when all the presidential races, they try to get control of both sides, and that way it doesn't matter who wins.
And it was actually happening during World War II, too, because companies like Ford built trucks for the Soviets. They built trucks for the Nazis. They built trucks for the Americans.
Hey, General,
yeah, it's business.
That's all they care about.
Yeah, exactly.
And the same thing with the Fidel Castro and his revolution in Cuba. We were backing him. CIA was backing Castro, but CIA was also backing Batista, as was the mafia, all of these. So, and that's when they got so mad, because after Castro won and Batista fled the island, he started throwing the mafia off the island and the CIA. And that's when they turned against him and said, oh, he must be a dirty communist. And so then officially the United States blockaded and sanctioned Cuba. And so the only ones they could go to do any trading, get anything, was the Russians. And so it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. We force them to go to the Russians, and we say, yeah, see, he's a commie. We always knew he's a commie.
Right. Right.
It is just so pathetic the way that they can manipulate the United States population around. It is incredible. But to tell you what's happening here in a nutshell, I saw it, a map of the United States with all of the states, and over here along the West Coast, California, Oregon, Washington, and then you come to, I think, New Mexico, and then you get to around the Great Lakes, Detroit and Chicago, and then you get to New York and a few of those other northeastern states. Okay, those were the ones who voted for the Democrats, okay, every time. And then picture that same map and the same colored states. These are the states that have the highest welfare population.
Oh, interesting.
Everything else, all through the South and the Midwest and on towards everything east of California, they're all red states. And that's because in those states, there's people working for a living and paying taxes, and they're getting really fed up with everything, okay?
Interesting.
All the population is on the two coasts.
Oh, sure. Well, even in a blue state, allegedly a blue state, Democratic state like Western Washington, where I live, Jim, they say there's a lot of support for Hillary there. But, you know, I've only seen two signs for Hillary in the Olympia area, which is a metropolitan area of about 200,000, 250,000.
Mm-hmm.
And those signs lasted for about 1 week. I didn't touch them. I don't touch signs at all. But then they were gone when I drove by that same corner next time. You don't see the signs. They're just not there.
Okay, well, let me ask
you
this. How many signs have you seen for Trump?
I've seen about 30 to 40.
Okay, there you go. And I think that is a better, more accurate view of what's going on in this country, because the polls are bought and paid for, Associated Press bought and paid for, CNN, Time, the Washington Post, New York Times, they're all bought and paid for. And they all obviously have been so pro-Hillary that it's just really sickening. And to me, all it does is prove up the existence of a international elite, corporate elite, who are trying to run the world, and they were behind Hillary the whole time. But You know, what's interesting is it may be that they realize they're backing the wrong horse here, because I think she's too vulnerable. I mean, she's committed so many crimes. I mean, she could be on the stand tomorrow, you know? And what are we going to do if we elect Hillary Clinton and then the FBI arrest her, you know?
Right, right.
I mean, this is just too much.
Well, you know, the thing is, I think with many people who get into politics, and this includes Hillary Clinton and President Obama, many of them, they start out, Jim, with the best of intentions.
Yes.
But a lot of times they get corrupted along the way, or they sell themselves out for money and power.
Yeah.
And I think that's happened here, unfortunately, because I don't think that she's inherently a bad person. I just think that she's just made some wrong choices. You know,
so. Keep digging. Keep researching.
But
let me say this about Trump. I think on Trump we have kind of the reverse situation. I think Trump started off, he's a millionaire, he gets whatever he wants, he's kind of used to roughshod, running over everybody, doing what he wants to do, and I think that they started off probably almost as a joke, hey, why don't you run for president, and then, you know, all of a sudden it got real. All of a sudden there were people responding to what he had to say, and then I remember he made a talk out in the Midwest somewhere, and he said, you know, I'm a New Yorker, always been a New Yorker, I think, like a New Yorker. He said, but since I started this campaign, I come out here across the country, and I meet all these people. I realize there's lots of Americans out here, and they got problems, and they got stuff, you know, that I don't even think about. He says, I'm really beginning to understand that they need representation, too, which I thought, wow, you know, how optimistic, how encouraging is that? Okay, so I think that the establishment early on supported Trump, and they thought that was great fun, and oh, he's such a hoot, he's going to open his mouth, put his foot in, and he did many times, and they thought, yeah, this is just going to be a joke, and we'll put him up, and then he'll make Hillary, you know, Clinton look like the supreme, you know, the best politician ever. But then somewhere along the line, Donald Trump, I think, had a conversion, kind of like Paul on the road to Damascus.
Sure.
And he decided, wow, I might have a shot at that. Maybe I could do this. Maybe we could do something about this New World Order, because he's bound to know. He's a builder in the New York area. Hey, he's got to deal with his corporations. He's got to deal with the mafia. He knows how everything works. He's going, wow, maybe I could get in there, and maybe I could actually do something for the good of the people, you know.
Sure.
And that's when he's starts really hammering along about immigration, about the loss of jobs. I mean, he seems to get it, you know. And so then all of a sudden the media and the establishment, now they're panicking because, hey, all of a sudden it looks like he's got a real shot. So they've got to come out 11 years ago, and that's the worst thing come up with. While on the other hand, let's look at Hillary and Bill. You know, there's three women alive today who said, he raped me and she covered it up. You know, do you equate that with just locker room talk from 11 years ago? Come on.
Right. Well, I have to tell you this, and I want to share this with my listeners as well, all over the world, that I've been in touch with Nostradamus on the other side the last couple of years, and it's very interesting. I haven't asked him about this election specifically, but he says for the future that in the future – The kinds of people we choose as leaders will be far more spiritually based than what we have today.
I think Yeah, I think we're seeing that happen right now. That's what we're watching history unfold right now. Because when the FBI absolves her of crimes one time, and then comes back and says we're reopening the case, struggle going on.
Sure. Well, and they know too. That a lot of the good men and women in the FBI have realized that it was a mistake not to follow the letter of the law and not to prosecute her.
Right.
And now they've realized in their heart they want to do the right thing.
Right.
And I admire and I congratulate them for trying to do the right thing.
I do too.
You know what I mean? I mean,
absolutely. I'm with you, Ted.
You know,
for the ones who would actually stand up, and especially the ones who would turn in a resignation letter. I mean, you know, you got a nice, cushy job with the FBI. You got government pension. You got all this stuff, and they're willing to put that on the line because they know what's right and what should be done correctly. And I honor those people, and I hope at some point we get to the point in this country where the whistleblowers and the people who are trying to make things right and trying to bring justice and equality to our system, that they get duly recognized. Okay. Unfortunately, today, even Obama, who pledged to support the whistleblowers, has prosecuted more whistleblowers, even more so than George W. Bush.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty. It's pretty discouraging to hear that. You know, on one hand, you have this facade of what he said he was going to do to make the country a better place, but you look at his decisions, and they've been against the many interests of the American people.
Well, see, what does it tell you? Our whole system is corrupt, and all my life from the Kennedy assassination on up, it's a well. Okay, that was terrible, and we have these glitches, but and all the system works. The system works. Well, I'm sorry, the system ain't working. Okay, and yet we have a perfect guideline for it.
Right,
called the
right.
Constitution of the United States and the Bill of Rights.
Right,
if they
right,
would simply
right.
stick to that,
right.
we wouldn't have half the problems we have today.
Well, I agree with you, Jim. One of the things, I've been in touch with President Kennedy the last couple of years, and he said back when he was murdered or assassinated back on November 22nd, 1963, is that the changes he was instituting were from the top down to create a better country and a better world as well.
Yeah.
And since that time, we've been in the control of a lot of negative elements here, especially in the United States. But now there are a lot of good changes, and the changes are coming not from the top down, Jim, but I think
from the bottom
he tells
up.
Me, bottom up. You, me, and everyone listening to this program trying to make this world a better place. And I think bottom line is that, you know, nobody likes fighting constantly. Nobody likes dishonesty. People like to live in harmony, and there's a beautiful, bright future for all of us just waiting for us if we just make the right choices. And I
absolutely.
Think that...
Amen, brother. I'm with you. That's
you
it. Have you ever been in touch with Oswald?
I haven't been in touch with Oswald. I have been in touch with President Kennedy, and he's told me quite a bit about what went on with the assassination. I'm actually writing a book now, which I promised myself that I would finish by the end of this month, called Messages from the Masters, including messages from President Kennedy. But I haven't been in touch with Oswald. I could try to contact him.
One time, and I have almost never talked about this, but one time I went to a psychic who was, I was told, was quite good, and I tend to agree. And I went in there, and I said, I want you to look, see if you can find a friend of mine, and that's pretty much all I told him. But, of course, in my mind, I won't even go look for Lee Harvey Oswald. And he told me some really incredible things that made me believe that he actually was in touch. And, of course, Oswald was in the spirit world. He's not around.
Oh, yeah,
still.
Sure. Right.
And, but I guess the most important thing that he said was that he was killed outside the country. That leaves out the guy in Dallas.
Oh, really? So they had a body double. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, they had a duplicate Oswald running around ever since. In fact, I think the real Oswald went in the military. The phony, it's not like somebody took his identity. They just created a whole new identity and gave him the name Lee Harvey Oswald. And I'm even thinking that the real Lee Harvey Oswald probably in the military coached the phony Oswald on his mannerisms and all his family and all
goodness.
Like that.
Wow.
Yeah. Well,
wow.
You know, one of the things that always puzzled me was when he was arrested, he had a few little weird things on in his possessions. And one of them was a card or a piece of paper, but it had written down there the schools he'd gone to and the military bases he'd gone to.
Oh,
now,
interesting.
Why would somebody
so
be carrying that around?
Story straight.
Why would anybody be carrying that around? I mean, I can tell you which schools I went to. I can tell you what military bases I was on. You know,
that's
I have to
amazing.
Write it down and put
that's
it in
amazing.
My pocket. Anyway,
we've got
weird stuff.
We've got about a minute left, and I I would just want to say briefly, and then I want to give you time the rest of the hour, rest of the minute. Okay. I want to thank you so much for coming on today. This has been Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today actually from beautiful Vancouver, Canada, and with Jim Marrs. And Jim, we've got about 45 seconds left. I want to give you the rest of the time. Is there anything that you'd like to share with people about the election or messages from Oswald that you were told?
Well, we really don't have time to do that, but I would urge people to go look at my website, jimmarrs.com. That's Jim Marrs, Marrs with two R's. Also, go check battlefieldearth.com, okay?
Okay.
And you can learn about that that great audio book. And then on my site, you can read all my books, and plus some DVDs, and plus posting some articles and information that you're probably not going to pick up on.
Wonderful.
Other channels. And my final words is, there's more of us than there are of them. Let's just get our act together and make this a better world.
Okay, Jim. Thank you so much. Please stay tuned for the next hour, my friends.